life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the host, internationally acclaimed medium, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hi, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show where we bring you interdimensional communication between our world and the spirit world. This week, we're going to be covering your questions, and if you would like to join us with a question, then we'd love to hear from you. It's not a reading-style situation, but it's basically anything you think maybe that the spirit world can help you with about life, the universe, and everything. So it's a free phone number in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. And you can also email me your questions in the week or any time that you would like at enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I will read the questions out to you. In fact, that seems to be the most popular way that that we do it on this program these days. Because I think it's such interesting topics, and you can listen a lot better if you're just sat there than rather than phoning up. And if you wait to the end of the conversation a lot of the time, then sometimes the questions are answered. But basically, it gives you food for thought for next week as well. So I think that's why this is so popular in that way.
It tends to be that way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So anyway, well, thanks for joining us.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery. If you'd like to know more about us, maybe book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and also www.mickavery.com for those in the UK and Europe. And on Spirit's Work, we cross the divide between the physical world and the spirit world and discuss all kinds of things, not only metaphysical, but normal, everyday situations that affect each and every one of us and our planet. I'm a deep trance medium, and live on the show, I channel our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay. When I'm in the trance state, I don't have any awareness of what is going on, but with the help of the spirit world, I have developed a method of being able to have a kind of instant out-of-body experience, which enables me to lend my body to the spirit communicator to use in a very pure way. And without further ado, I'm going to say goodbye for now, because our show, as all importantly, is just about the spirit world and you. So that's our focus, and it's not for me to sit here and chit-chat and any of that stuff, which is just as well, because I'm not very good at it. So I'm going to leave you, and have a great show. Bye.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, Mick and his spirit and his consciousness are taken to the spirit world, and he won't know of anything that has happened until he comes back into his body at the end of the show. And very shortly, Gregory Hay will be joining us, and he is the spokesperson for an enlightened group of spirits called the White Cloud Group. And they are called the White Cloud Group because of White Cloud, who is the shining one of the group, who brought together many great minds to form this educational collection of minds, shall we say, so that we can have access to as much knowledge and information that we need to know in order to benefit ourselves, our Earth, and everyone on it. I would just like to say, actually, before Gregory starts speaking, is that we do Akashic readings. If you would like an Akashic reading with us, if you go to our website and go to the Akashic readings page, that's www.spirit-teaching.com, go to the Akashic readings page. We do audio readings where we remotely, and also we do telephone readings anywhere in the world. So if you would like to have a look at that, and you can get back to me if you would like to know anything more that's not on there, and I will help you out. And that would be lovely. So, here we are then. I do believe Gregory's with us now. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, Finn. Hello.
with love and light. Blessings as ever.
How are you today?
Dear friend, yes. Yes, I'm very well, of course. And I welcome all of you, those who may be listening now at this present time, and also, of course, those to listen in the future. We present all of ourselves to all of you in every way.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we do have quite a few questions to go through here, and I think I'd like to start with, shall we see here? Yes, Chris of Devon. Thank you, Chris, for your questions. Basically, he would like you to explain the difference between the soul and the spirit, as many are confused by the difference. As it stands, I explain it as the soul being a vehicle of expanding consciousness and expression of free will, and the spirit as an unmanifest source of infinite potential that exists purely in service to the soul. Is this assessment accurate, or is there a deeper understanding to be described? He's open to all views, which is, you know, heavenly, really. It's just music to my ears. So
yes. Well, to look at it in this way, in the factual side of the mechanics of what is what, your spirit is something which is separate. That is something which has existed for millions and millions of years, doesn't have to have a physical life in order to grasp or in order to understand, in order to bring or percolate knowledge or understanding in any form or variety of which that is a part. So that means to say your spirit state is not in endless state of always being receptive to, or always being at risk of, the way that you think. So let's have that really understood. That means to say then, you may be a really beautiful spirit, you may have a really beautiful spirit, in fact, every single being on the physical planet has a really beautiful spirit, must be. Because it's part of God. It's part of the energy of all life, the creation of all life, and is in that respect perfect and pure. There is no spirit which isn't. When you are looking about behavior, when you are trying to interpret about a behavior, oh, that's a mischievous spirit. No, it isn't. It's a mischievous conscious state which has cloaked the pure, beautiful spirit and is at present making charges of it. So what you have to understand then is that your beautiful, pure spirit is always and always will be absolutely beautiful and absolutely pure. So you may have a being who is a murderer on the physical side of life. There's lots of them, hundreds and thousands of them, all over the planet. But each and every one of them, their spirit is absolutely beautiful and pure, regardless of their physical actions and the physical attraction that they create themselves. When you, so in a sense, what we're seeing here is that part of this manifestation of what you call physical life, you have to come to understand that in actual fact what is taking place is that the whole constant energy of your physical state is not the sum total of your spirit. Your spirit, in respect of always having existed, does not need to have physical life in order to exist at all, contrary to the belief systems of some religious experience, for some forms of religion as such, which is man-made. In respect of then their spirit, we are seeing that the whole energy situation of spirit is that of continuous state. And don't forget that your spirit never, in fact, comes to have a physical life. It's always in the spirit world. Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm not sure if we've got somebody on the line or not here.
Hello?
Hello, Gordon.
Friend.
Gordon.
Oh, you recognize my voice? After all this time.
How are you?
I'm pretty fair for a square, and yourself?
Yes, very good, thanks. What would you like to say to Gregory?
Oh, okay, Gregory. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank you. You've given me advice in the past that is very beneficial, advice that I don't feel that I could have gotten from anyone else that, up to this point in my life, I should say. But anyway, okay, the question is, I think it's something that could help a lot of people. Now, there's a lot of stuff coming up. You know, we know that the in-streamings of this higher frequential energy is demanding that we raise our vibration. Okay. It's uprooting a lot of emotional stuff from the past. And as a result of that, sometimes we, you know, it's necessary to do the energy work to clear some of this stuff out so that we can open up a little more and be more aligned with this higher frequency. But at the same time, I want to know if you have any special practices or energy work techniques that you could offer us to quickly clear away whatever comes up. Because sometimes for me, it's coming up in large amounts more than I can clear away, faster than I can clear it away sometimes.
Yes. You become quite bogged down by it. I understand that, Ben. But really what you have to remember is that all of this is actioning on the physical plane. So that means that it's not a matter of interpretation. It isn't a matter of you having to deal with it necessarily, because in the main, they are all situations, events and hostilities and events and unknowns and ifs and whats that have actually graced your life, but that it's not that you haven't dealt with it, because you've dealt with it at the time. But my point, my dear friend, is that it's all a matter of the actioning brain. And what you tend to do, and what many, many human beings tend to do in physical life, especially at this time, because there's a great deal of negativity which is in the ether around you. So that means that you are more susceptible chemically to the actions and events that are taking place. And this means that what you have to do is you have to change your reasoning. You have to learn to manage the mind. And in this respect, managing the mind is like managing your own home, managing your life. And in this respect, friend, what we have to say is that for each and every one trying to manage their mind, what they're failing at is perhaps sometimes in only thinking that meditation is going to help them in regard to some higher life consciousness, rather than, which is in a sense, can become counterproductive if you are not actually managing the organism that you are.
Okay.
So this means that, if I just may continue for a moment, so this means that what you have to do is to understand how actually to garden the mind, how to create the right response to images, situations, and events of past feeling that have then continued to reinfect you.
Yes.
And so what you have to do is you need to practice the Sesi meditation that we teach in order, which is being able to not channel the mind, but being able to withdraw your energy from sequences and events of past questioning and past doubt. The point of this, however, is that it may well be that you have to actually persevere in a very rigid manner. It might be, dear friend, that as well as sitting every day for this, just perhaps for 15 minutes, but no more than that, so that it doesn't become a trial. But what you actually do is you build up the right kind of energy frequency, which is then simply managed by your chemistry. You've got to remember that your body chemistry is at risk when you reflect retrospectively to events, situations, and feelings, even if they're not actually pertaining to your life now.
Okay.
Because how these then change events in your conscious physical state and your physical well-being are they change the pH value. because what's actually happening is your body chemistry is reacting to the negative events, even if they don't actually come out in your physical reference of the mind attention. So that, let's say it's an underlying event, a causal event of an action that happened earlier in your life, or maybe actually it's nothing really to do with that, but is to do with supposed situations, perhaps that other people that you felt were actioning against you, but it wasn't actually concrete, it wasn't actually made up. You understand? So I'm just saying this because sometimes people have these situations too, which are events that travel across their lives, and that they just think that people have this sort of thought form to do with themselves and their lives, so that they're not actually actioning the energy, but they just then begin to react in reference to it. So what that means is that you're then creating these disturbances chemically in your physical body system, and what's actually happening is the acidity from that, from the negativity, is then creating disturbances which you can become addicted to.
Interesting. That's interesting. When I'm in the presence of others who I, because I'm like really super sensitive.
I know.
To the level where I'm just, wow, I can be a mess at times. And I might be in the presence of people where I can actually feel, and let me tell you, the program you gave me with the mirror shielding, that has been exceptional. It has been absolutely exceptional. I've been, because I'm in a hospital, and I'm able to keep a lot of foreign energies out of my space. Particularly folk that have passed on who are just observing my light and might find an interest in it. Or, you know, when you have people, you're around people who are sick, they tend to be drawn to you, as you know. But that mirror shielding was just absolutely perfect, because a lot of these energies that, I don't know, they seem to lodge there on the shoulders, at the neck region.
Yes, sir.
I noticed that stopped. And a lot of other things have stopped coming in that I don't experience anymore. It's helped me a great deal. I noticed that I was taking on a lot of that energy just simply if I hear someone screaming or I notice it tends to be with people who tend to be sympathetic or just super sensitive. And I was having a lot of problems with that, but I know this is not about me. It's about what, you know, I wanted to make this something for everyone that you could offer who have similar issues to me. But that technique that you gave me with the mirror shielding, absolutely perfect for what it was designed for.
And
I mean, I can't thank you enough. I really, really can't. But still,
I'm so pleased that it worked well for you. But my dear friend, I have to say, this is all down to your due diligence as well. It's not the design of the effect, but it is how the person themselves that we're communicating with actually takes it in within themselves and understands the perspective.
I want to say also, yes, I would really like this energy technique that you're about to give us in reference to my query. And I'm very excited about it, because I just look at the success at the mirror shielding. I actually did a little more. I put an etheric grid between myself and then the mirror shielding on the outside of it. Give it like a double layer of protection. But it was really effective. But I'm really concerned about folk. My assumption is that I feel that I'm extremely protective, but I just believe, or I feel, that my God self is not going to let anything into my space unless I have karma with it. Okay? And so I notice that I'll feel a lot of negative energy projections from people that I don't even know. Sometimes it's a result, I feel, as me being ungrounded and projecting my energy in their space, and I'm kind of noticing that I operate at a higher frequency than most of the people I come in contact with, which seems to be a bit disturbing, particularly with people who have a lot of negative energy that's coming to the surface anyway that's seeking to be cleared. And I seem to, and so a lot of times they tend to, I don't know, personally I think they're feeling their own stuff up, being uprooted, but my presence oftentimes, that's why I try to draw my aura in as much as possible to more of a perfect distance so I don't set off and trigger the energies of other people. However, I'm just feeling that I want to say that these people that I tend to have karma with, my protective energy, the energies in me, through me, around me, with me, will allow them to come in and make me, you know, allow me to experience a lot of stuff because it's part of my karma.
I have to say, my dear friend, it's not your karma. Not at all. Nothing whatsoever to do with it. Karma is what you action and what you create during your physical life. Nothing else. It is not a situation you brought with you from some previous situation or whatever. You came as a completely clear, clean, and beautiful being. The point is, my friend, is that you recognized it. And that you recognize that there was something completely different, because it was not something that you were seeing in someone else. And so part of what is happening here, really, my dear friend, is the energies, the negative energies and situations that you're feeling from other people's are really purely, you have to understand that in the scheme of it, humanity, what they do generally, I'm saying as a species, nothing to do with their spirit. But as a species, what humanity do is they tend to look for a, can I say this? They tend to look for a star. They look for an energy which is brighter than theirs. Then what people will tend to do is either support it, be supportive of that energy because they want to become closer to it, or because it is perhaps unattainable, unreachable, or there is some other situation of jealousy which is happening to that individual, which then makes them feel that they perhaps regard your energy as threatening, or they simply regard the presence as being something to conquer, something to overpower. That is human negativity. That is the way that human beings as a species think. So
wow.
What you're actually reacting to...
So now I see why, because I don't really have that much of a very good relationship with my coworkers because most of them find me unrelatable because I'm so different.
Well, yes, I understand that. But that's not you, my dear friend. I just have to stop you there for a moment. That's not you trying to be different. It's not something that you're orchestrating, as it may sound, it is just purely and simply your state of being, and you're relaxed and natural. But my point here is that because of the fact that combined with this, you are also extensively grounded as well. You're not off-world, as it were. You are actually a very grounded being as well, which is, in a sense, a place where not very many people are able to tread. And so what happens is, what you find is that your co-workers as well think in terms of who does he think he is, what does he think he's doing, just purely and simply by your energy. You don't even have to open your mouth.
So that's what it is.
Mm. You understand?
Yeah. I always kind of felt like people look at me and like, who the hell do I think I am?
Yes, exactly.
So that was actually right what I was feeling.
Yes, you've got to stop thinking in terms of am I just playing with my mind here? Because in actual fact, thoughts are living things, my dear friend. You must remember this. Thoughts are living things, which means to say that every thought that's incoming, someone has orchestrated it. Someone's created it.
Yes.
Doesn't happen
so
by
this
itself.
This is why I'm saying to my boss, I don't know when I come into this office and I'm speaking to you, and then others walk in, all of a sudden I feel negative energy coming from them.
That's right, absolutely.
I just thought that it was me being ungrounded and...
Or oversensitive.
No, and you'll find that the people that do need you...
Yes.
Will actually be drawn to you like a magnet.
Yes. And if I may say, my dear friend, a way that you can temper this so that your energy doesn't get out of balance and it doesn't become something of an obstacle to your mind or of an obstacle to your sensitivity, let's say. And this is, of course, something which many people will find as well, generally, if they are becoming very more orchestrated within their awareness of self, raising their vibration as you do, my dear friend, in meditation and in thoughts of not of self, but really of linking and being at one with the universe, enables you to raise your vibration just on its own. You don't have to think loving thoughts about anything at all. That's a myth. All that you need to do is to feel at one with a sense of where you are. And then simply what happens is that you raise your vibration. So then when you are dealing with other people and this situation, this state, it may be of a kind of a situation that's not deliberate. You don't mean it, but that it just simply happens. What I would say to you is that go and try and find some people that you can mix with who need your healing, who need for you to give them hands-on experience to help them touch their lives and to then enable the energy which you are building up through this perfected state that is then transferred to others so it dissipates somewhat and gets used. So then it then becomes something of a more of an equilibrium in your life.
Okay, so this build-up is part of, because I had never heard of some woman that someone had mentioned to me, because I referred to her as some woman, and her name was Amma. And I went to a website, and I'd never heard of the woman, never seen her before. And when I looked at the website, I was overwhelmed by this feeling of someone unconditionally loving me, say, I'm loving you. If you could put the thoughts or feelings into words, because they come across as thoughts and an overwhelming feeling of someone just loving me unconditionally as I am. And as I progressed through the website was actually talking about what she does. She actually is a hugging saint. But I've never met, or at least, this was before I met her. The whole experience was before I met her. It was just feeling of unconditional acceptance, no matter what. I mean, when I actually met her and she did her darshan, that was like nothing. Everything happened before I actually met her. So is this part of that? And I was really curious, what exactly, in according to your group, is this woman?
Well, my dear friend, it may well be that this identity is regarded as a saint in culture. However, that tends to be something that is a laudit coming from humanity rather than from necessarily the works that a being does in their spirit's entirety. So it will depend entirely upon this lady's energy, this identity's energy, and what that ability of how the spirit's perfectedness comes through the energy that she is directing toward you. So that means... It's like, in a sense, my dear friend, it's like, for example, when you are looking at, if you were a being of the physical earth and you were trying to reach an ascended master, as that would be your intention, that would not mean that would be what you would meet with. Purely and simply because you've already put that as an intention doesn't mean to say it's what you make in the connection. So you do have to be careful of meeting and verifying the energy of beings who are, so say, energetically different to yourself. I'm not going to say higher, I'm going to say that they're energetically different. That is usually because they are non-physical. That's part of the reason why they're energetically different. It means,
I feel as we speak, I can feel the energy of White Cloud. I can feel the energy of, not just from talking to you, just through the desire or the intent. I can feel her energy. I can...
I understand that. Yes, I do understand that. But and what I'm saying is, friend, accepting that as a part of the orchestration, if you like, but what you have to do also is you have to align yourself with understanding that there will be times when you will be perceived, no, that's the wrong word, that you will be approached by others in the universe who will claim ascension status because it's what human beings want to hear. And will have, and will actually appear as these white shining beings who actually have almond eyes and the rest of it. You see?
Am I imagining it when, and I don't want this to all be about me. I know I wanted you to give that technique to everyone because it's so important, because I'm so sure that there are so many other people that go through what I've gone through, but they're afraid to talk about it. But again, I've always felt like if these beings or whatever come to me, whether I'm at rest or daydream or night visions or whatever you want to call them, I've had people try to guide me or offer me guidance, but I've always questioned them and they could never lie, ever.
Yes.
I always felt that I would know, I'd feel the truth, that you could not lie to me.
Yes, I do understand.
I've always felt that beyond what they appear to be. And they always run away when they're not of a unity consciousness.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I don't feel I can be lied to and they'll get away with it. I feel that I know truth when I hear it.
Yes. I do understand that. And that really is all that I have to say on this whole situation. Really, you have to remember to question. You have to remember it is your right to question.
Yes.
And to question most thoroughly. Don't just take and accept the first situation or the first energy feeling that you have.
Right. I've observed them actually call me names when they, because just the thought, they know my thoughts. Just the thought of me challenging them, because it's the right thing to do, because, to be honestly, I take everything with a grain of salt now, even what you say to me, but I know what truth will work for me. That's why I stuck with that mirror image, the mirror shielding, and it worked. And
yes,
it worked.
Yes.
It wasn't easy. I mean,
absolutely not. It isn't, my dear friend.
And nor is this meditation that you're going to give. But it's only short.
Yes, so the meditation is simply this, dear friend. You say a short invocation, something along the lines of, to my highest guides and helpers, second to none, bless me, keep me safe at this time that I sit, knowing that all that is said, done, heard, felt, and sensed in any way is with absolute love. And as I give of myself to the universe, I wish at this time for temperance of my mind, for control of my conscious state. And then simply what you do is you let go. You actually let go of whatever thought that you have, whatever feeling that you have, that's of the physical state. And don't try looking and thinking in terms of astral projection or anything else. What you're doing is that you're just learning to let go of the simplest of thought. And that is the practice, is just simply to practice letting go of whatever thought that you have so that you can learn to become a blank canvas, so that when invited, others may use the canvas to paint images onto your life or that as a blank canvas, you can then let go of the energy of past thoughts, of redemption, past thoughts, of agony, past thoughts, of unfulfilled circumstances of your life, past thoughts of even past thoughts, and simply let them go. And this is a simple method of bringing this about, is just to learn to withdraw the energy, not as an actual structural thing, because then that's thought as well. All that you're doing is just withdrawing your energy from the thought itself. Then this will simply cease to exist. Mm. And at the end of the 15-minute session, you simply say your thank yous to the universe and be on your way. Now, how this is then useful is that for actions of physicality, it may be that you perhaps, or for some people, they have problems physically with themselves. These too can be conformed into thoughts, which you then learn to let go, as then it can become that you're letting go of diseases, you're letting go of problem ailments and situations and conditions.
Letting go of negative thought patterns actually enables you to sort of start recreating and being totally in control and of your positive pathway forward, rather than these random erratic thoughts taking you off down another negative pathway again that you thought you'd dealt with.
And my point, however, is that with any of these negative situations, you have to remember that if there has been a negative path, it's simply that negativity, remember, cannot survive without your attraction to it, essentially, as a physical being. So that means to say that when you attract to something, or you simply have a negative event that happens to you, it oftentimes coughs up lots of other negative events of the past that you thought you'd buried. And then simply what happens is that the chemical reaction overload takes place, creates a lot of acidity in your physical body system, which then makes you feel ill, and you become lethargic, you become incumbent to the negative energy and the pain and the situations that are inflicted upon you from that state of reality.
I notice this when these things occur, they trigger things from the past that come up, and but I'd always thought recently, and I'm in the process of learning, I had thought that this triggering of energies from the past is just a natural unfoldment of karma, simply because it allows you to have to deal with whatever comes up, and you have to allow it to come up in order to clear it. So where have I been going wrong?
Well, no, you haven't been going wrong, my dear friend. All you have to do is to train the mind to just simply let go. So that when these actions and thoughts of the past you thought you had cleared rear their ugly little heads once again, it's gone. And that's it.
Hmm. Yeah, try not to think about the karma situation.
Just simply don't dwell on it. The karma issue, all that that is dealing with in your life is that it's supposed to help you to focus on future pathways so that you do not create karma of negativity, which will then come back to bite you in the bum.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just that once you start going down that depressive route, you see, the negative thoughts and that sort of thing, it just attracts more negativity.
Yes.
That's what it does. So, you know, it's trying to nip that in the bud and say, here we go, I'm not going down that pathway again. And the Masesi meditation will help you do that in the way that you will begin to have it. That will become easier because you will have learnt the art. It's like a tool, a mechanism that you can train your mind to actually let go of certain thoughts that you don't want and leave room for positive and the opening of new passageways and doorways of
and creativity.
Yeah, because I always think of negative thoughts as being on like a loop, you know, it goes round and round, oh here we go again, round and round and round. And it's a good way of counteracting that.
So it's the simplest meditation that I have to go to and stick with on a routine basis.
That's right.
Yes, recognize the signs and signals when you start going down that route and start really focusing on positive situations. And
learn to polish the mind so that you can just simply let go of it. So that it doesn't, you disallow by letting go of the energy that it's trying to create, you disallow its function. You've cut its arms off, you see?
Mm. And I would say, actually, as well, Gordon, try not to think too much as well about, why or what you're picking up.
Making everything add up.
Yeah, because when you're thinking about other people's energy and their thought patterns and how it's affecting you, you're reaching out into the ether all of the
time.
To
it. Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Making it stronger and attracting it even more.
Yes,
attracting
that's right.
It to
absolutely
you. You're reaching out to their problems. You're reaching out to all of the negative aspects of their auric field, what's going on in their life.
Yes.
And because you're so sensitive, you're going to pick that up. So try not to actually even think about it.
That's been going through my mind lately. I was saying, well, if I can't stop as I tend to project my energy even more because I'm wondering why I'm feeling this headache all of a sudden from standing in your presence, and I walk away and I come back and the headache starts up again. And it's even with some people that I actually like. That's what throws me off.
Oh, well, of course so, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But you can't help. They're the way they think. That it's not necessarily directed at you. It's just,
right. Just stuff they have.
Absolutely. You find that with helping people. So certain people that you can help and talk to, and they really appreciate your help and they soak it up like a sponge, and that's fantastic. But there are others that will actually soak it up like a sponge, but not really at all have any inclination about doing anything about it themselves, but feel better for a while, take your energy, and then you feel awful. But because it's not reciprocal, because they're not really valuing it, do you know what I mean? You feel bad.
This is interesting. There's a couple yogis that are coming here in the to Manhattan here on the 24th. 5th and the 26th, and I'd never heard of them either. Someone named Pilot Baba and his disciple Yogmata, and I went on the internet, and as I listened to a recording of them, I did feel a very soothing energy running through my body, particularly through my heart area, where I have issues still, a lot of issues. It was very soothing. So, and I noticed they were talking about the absence of mind and so forth. So I guess, even when I was trying to clear myself up a bit before I called you guys, and gals, excuse me, before I called you, I noticed that I was stopped because it was 1 o'clock, which means it's time for this show, so that I wouldn't forget, so I'd get in and have all of this extra stuff. I don't want to hog all the time.
Hey, it's been like the Gordon show. The thing is, this is what this program's all about. Everybody and anybody can get something out of what we've been talking about.
I'm very glad, because I didn't want to confuse your producer there, because I guess it started off like I was sounding like I was actually asking a more personal question, conceding.
No.
It was slightly personal, but I know that I'm not the only one that goes through this, so I'm pretty sure that it's helped everyone.
Yes, definitely, Gordon. Definitely. Well, you have a lovely day, and hopefully we'll speak soon. Don't leave it so long.
Thanks so much for your time. You just have these strange hours now.
Okay, go ahead.
One other thing, I'm sorry, before you leave, and this is specific to Gregory Hay. Gregory Hay, how might one of your Akashic readings help me?
Well, my dear friend.
Sincerely.
In order to connect you with yourself. But you're already connected with yourself, so it's really for you to have a deeper remembrance.
Yeah, I mean, he can help you with lots of maybe personal things that you won't want to talk about on the radio as well. So there's all sorts of situations that come up with it.
Absolutely.
Difficult to say on air, okay?
Okay, all right, dear. Thank you both for your time.
Okay.
And Gregory, your knowledge and wisdom from the group, and I actually summoned this energy that I would call Lord White Cloud. So I guess he's like, you fall under that banner, his group falls under that banner. So I feel that a large degree of that essence is with us. And I thank you both a great deal, and thanks so much. And I'll be talking to you again. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
Bless
Gordon.
Upon your journey,
thank
friend.
You. Thank you.
Blessed be. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. Right, so where were we? We had a question from Chris. I don't know if you want to start this again, actually. I just...
No, it's quite
just,
all right.
So okay. So we basically, you were explaining the difference between
yes.
the soul and the spirit.
Yes. So your spirit is basically then a being, this is what you are, a being from the universe. And as such, a pure and beautiful energy. And that is for everyone. No one is any different. But your spirit never actually comes and has a physical life. You're the being that has the physical life. Your spirit is what is attached to it by the etheric bead, which comes into your solar plexus, which is why it is that your solar plexus is actually probably the most tenderest place on your physical body. So that means to say that whatever thoughts and feelings that you have about your physical self and situation are, for much of it, are how you think of yourself and perceive of yourself. They're not really to do with your spirit makeup. If you wish to transcend that and become more aware, and you meditate and you do the thing that we were just talking about to Gordon, and you create a meditative state which then enables you to transcend your ordinary physical self and learn to be a more loving and environmentally perfected person, then you become more aware of this spirit self, which means that, of course, your spirit has properties, has gifts, has faculties, which are non-physical, which can then enable you to transcend and affect other elements of your physical journey by using these gifts of spirit. Your soul is something completely different. Your soul itself is something which gradually builds up from your physical life experience. Now, you actually came from a soul group, which means that you had an identity, an ethereal journey, if you like. Not to say that your energy or journey was then going to be fixed in the physical life. Not all mapped out. But what this means is that your soul energy actually has with it a certain coloration into the life, into the journey of the physical life. Now, when you are talking as a human physical being about your soul, what is the soul? The soul is the sum total of your conscious journey. So how you access or gain creation of your soul is in deeds and situations that you do feel, see, sense, or hear, or create within the journey of physical state. So that means to say, if you are a beautiful soul, it means you're a very loving being. It means that you think of others, means that you're of service to others. Therefore, a beautiful soul becomes more and more beautiful, usually, because of the beautiful things, the way that they think, the way that you administer your physical brain in order to thinking logistical questions and imagery scenarios to enable perfection to be reached, to enable loving harmonics to be created from your physical being, so that you become what? So that you become a faster being. So that you as a physical being, when you are born, you vibrate usually quite a bit faster than when you then begin to become educated in the physical learning stuff in which you are immersed. And obviously what happens at sometimes in some people's lives, in some people's families, is that energy becomes squashed. Perhaps because of the environment in which you grow up in. Perhaps because of the events and situations that happen to you. Nothing makes you a great soul to do with poor things and poor events in your journey. If you are a being that suffers from your physical journey, maybe it's because of illness or whatever, that doesn't make you a beautiful soul. What makes you a beautiful soul is perhaps how you perceive your journey to be despite you going through unimaginable pain or torment. If you are able to master that suffering in some way so that it still does not affect your core being, then that is in empathy to you becoming a beautiful soul. That doesn't mean to say that you're a beautiful soul because you're suffering some horrible or horrific illness or judgmental disease. Human beings are very quick to relating to illness or situations of negative state as being, oh, well, it's your karma from a previous life or whatever. It may have nothing whatsoever to do with anything like that at all. And usually is because someone else's energy has put that there, has created that pathway in your disfavor. So what all this means is that your soul and the energy of it is the sum total of your conscious physical journey. So that means that if you become a more beautiful soul, and a more beautiful energy, you do things for other people, you are always harmonic, you are always brave, you put yourself in situations to help other beings, regardless of what they are, then that means to say that your learning and progression is going to accelerate your vibrational intent and your vibration index, which everyone has of somewhere between 200 and 800 cycles per second. And that means quite simply, and the outer reaches of that can be as much as 1200 cycles per second. But that means to say then that that's a very loving, intensive being who creates that kind of energy. And then what we see is that a being who is that loving and that demonstrative of that love will obviously then continually add to their soul journey. Why is that necessary? Well, quite simply, because when you eventually pass to our side of life, when you have created such a beautified soul from your physical journey, that means to say it gives you more access in the spirit world after you have passed. What you have to remember is that upon your passing, your whole activity, what you did and created in your physical life, will become the consciousness, which then coats your beautiful spirit, like wearing an overcoat. And for some beings, if they created a negative journey, then the overcoat they're wearing will be very thick and will be very sluggish and disorientative and will be negative. So that means that your beautiful spirit won't be seen and won't be able to get through this sluggish exterior of consciousness that you created in your physical life. If you were a really beautiful being and your soul was so enlivened that when you passed, it suddenly gave you access to all these other realms of understanding in the spirit world, because the energy of your soul journey created such an elliptical, beautiful spirit consciousness and awareness of it, of your consciousness, you see, then it simply meant that that consciousness awareness of your spirit enables your spirit to shine right through. And that means a beautiful being who left the physical world will continue to allow their beautiful spirit to shine through because the energy will be clear.
Okay, Gregory. Well, we have actually, I'd like to end the show today with a poem that was sent in. It's actually by Chris of Devon, who just sent in the question about the spirit and the soul. And he says that he would like me to read this out that he's written on behalf of everyone who may be listening to the show to express gratitude and appreciation for the work that you're doing. He says so many people have questions for Gregory, and I thought it would be nice if someone simply instead gave something back to Gregory for his time and effort. So, it's simply called Thank You. It is with love and light these words are shared and spoken. On behalf of all those here whose hearts you have awoken, to the white cloud group to whom we speak, to those who illuminate answers we desperately seek. In us each you plant the new seeds of thought that lead us to our wisdom we have always sought. We each seek a voice to cast light upon the day. This voice carries the name of Gregory Hay. See, we do your efforts of sincere passion and devotion. Your influence on earth compels energy into motion. Many hearts and souls speak to you through me as we offer you our gratitude for the fears you set free. In service to so many, you give of yourself in love as you observe our humble lives from the heavens above. Within each of us, you have a place in our heart and soul. Be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal.
But I thank you so very, very much, dear friend Chris. And I thank you so for all of us and our work as we try to touch lives, to mend them and make them whole.
That's lovely, yes. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Gregory. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and do join us again next week on the wonderful BBS radio for Spirit's Work, same time, 6 p.m. GMT, 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST. And if you'd like to have go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and get in touch with us for about anything else that you would like to know, then that would be lovely. So thank you so much, and see you next week. God bless.